We continue in the 24th chapter of Luke. Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to the rest. That was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But the words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping. And looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed by what he had seen and happened. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. By now, I'm assuming you've heard at least one Easter sermon in your lives. So I don't think I need to belabor the point that it was early on the first day of the week, or that the women are doing the only thing they know how to do, which is often how the women function in society, is they handle the things that need to be handled. And so they are going to prepare the body. And I don't think I need to overstate how devastated they must be, because I think we've lived that for the last year. The responses to seeing one another in person this Sunday and last Sunday tell us that we know what loss is. And we know what great joy it is to see that we are alive again. Each gospel tells this story slightly differently. Luke, we come to with the emphasis from last week that if the people didn't cry out, the rocks would, the very stones would cry out. And the first thing in Luke's gospel that tells us something is amiss is the stone is not in the right place. The stone has been rolled away. And now we know what that means. We know what that means. But for Mary, Joanna, and Mary Magdalene, and the other women, it probably means something different. We come in knowing the outcome of this story. They go in with that moment being terrifying. If you have ever come home to a letter from the IRS, you probably know what they're thinking. It's probably not fit for me to say it into the microphone from the pulpit on Easter Sunday. And they are greeted there with two men in dazzling clothes. And the women are terrified, and that's been a pattern when angels show up. When the presence of the Lord shows up, we get afraid. And usually the first line is, do not be afraid. Here it is. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you when he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again. And I think if we went into the women's internal monologue, yes, but we didn't think he meant it. We thought the Messiah was supposed to do this differently from how he said it was going to happen. And then the entire passage turns on this next little almost throwaway phrase. Then they remembered his words. And they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. What I want us to think about today is, what is it they remembered? And what is it that we remember that brings us new life and resurrection and hope and faith in the promises of Jesus Christ to be real? Two men in dazzling clothes. Well, that sounds an awful lot like the Transfiguration. Except the women weren't there. It was just Peter and James and John. So how would the women make that connection? I mean, that would assume that the disciples paid them more attention than they pay them in the rest of this passage. Or maybe that the women were just really good at eavesdropping. So maybe they think about transfiguration, but maybe being the women they are, they think about the angel who appeared to Elizabeth and to Mary. And they remember how this story all started with an improbable, nearly impossible presence of God saying, I am at work doing a new thing. Do you want to be a part of it? Maybe they remember, maybe they have Peter's mother-in-law with them, and they remember her being on her sickbed and Jesus healing her. Maybe the woman with the bleed is at the tomb as well. Maybe they simply remember that Jesus stopped everything to talk to her. What do they remember? I have been racking my brain for the last week trying to think of one simple, pithy, red type Bible quote to use. And I've realized it's not any one quote that they could remember. It had to be Jesus. It had to be the whole thing. It had to be the entirety. In one of my more cynical moments, I thought, clearly they remember him saying, get behind me, Satan, to Peter, and that made all the difference. But I don't think that's it. I think it's all of it. It's all of Jesus that they remember. It is a man who says to a little girl, get up. It is a man who vacillates between being pushy. You heal them. You get them something to eat. And then we have the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Oh, you fearful and tired generation. Don't you know how to cast out demons? I gave you the power to do this. To one who carefully and slowly stops a parade by the side of the road to talk to a man who screams out his name twice. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Mary and Joseph's son? Isn't this the one who teaches with authority? Not like the scribes. He actually sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Isn't this the one that we shouted for just last week? Just last week, we shouted Hosanna, that this is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. I don't think it's any one of these passages. I think it's all of these passages. I don't think it's even a Sunday to be concerned about textual criticism and whether it's in Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. It's in the gospel. It's in the good news. It is contained in the person of Jesus Christ. And that is what they remember. And that is what makes all the difference. You and I, we all remember things. And if you grow up with siblings, you know that you remember things differently. And so the question for us today, as the family of God, as the brothers and sisters of the body of Christ, as the children of God, how is it that we tell this family story? What do we remember? What changes everything? What moves us from death to life? I've already given you permission not to need to contain it in one scripture verse, so don't worry about that. Think about it, what it means. In my faith journey, it means being a church who could celebrate a life lost out of time in an 8-year-old. It meant being a church that could both celebrate life and hold death together tears, laughter, wonder, awe, pain, all of it together. When I was in Three Rivers, I remember walking into the New Haven Church, and it was my habit to get there about 8:10 in the morning for worship that started at 8:45. And I found out at about 8:11 that the town had had a death. The postmaster had died. And every one of my elders who came in said, "Wade, cut the sermon short. You need to stop at their house before you go on to Ridgeway." That is at the center of the gospel. Because rather than celebrate just faith for us on Sunday morning, 26 members, 15 who regularly showed up, they thought it was important that their pastor be showing compassion and mercy and grace and the good news of Jesus Christ to people who were grieving in their community. And that is the gospel. I have been told to cut my sermon short since then, but never for that type of reason. I have found that even in the hardest times, there are people who will walk with us, who will walk with me through the hard times. And they aren't always the ones I expect. Yes, I've been disappointed by people, and I've been amazed by people. And any one of those stories doesn't appropriately summarize resurrection, new life, new hope, and triumph over sin and death. But together, they get close. And by the time we lump my stories and your stories together, along with the gospel, along with all of Scripture detailing who God has been and how God has been in the world, yeah, we're there. Yeah, we're there. And that is what I think they remember. I think they don't just remember what Jesus said. I think they remember who Jesus was. I think they remember how God is and how God has been. Remember, these are people coming straight off a Passover celebration, straight off a celebration of deliverance, of freedom, of sacrifice. And that is what I want us to take away from the tomb this day. I want you to remember all of it. The painful stuff, the stuff from Friday, the historical stuff, the stuff from Thursday, the time when it felt like we were all alone, the stuff from yesterday, and the time when at long last we are together and we can loudly say, "Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen."